It's hard. It's like a risk. All right, we're recording and we're live. Yay!
Yay!
Friday Night Feels. We're here again, folks. Welcome to Friday Night Feels. I am licensed mental health counselor Patrick and certified life coach Patrick Burnett. And Friday Night Feels is a show that focuses on a variety of wellness-related issues such as mental health, health concerns, stress management, parent issues, relationship struggles, healing, and much more. The focus of the show is to create a connection and to be able to talk about issues that affect all of us and how to be the healthiest versions of ourselves that we can be. Each show, I invite a guest co-host to join me and share their experiences in healing and wellness. And this week, I'm excited to have Leanne Pelkey join us. So welcome, Leanne, to Friday Night Feels.
Thank you. It's so awesome to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Okay, so Leanne Pelkey is a new mom, so congratulations.
Thank you.
And founder of her own business, Moonlight Dream Sleep Coaching. For the first few months of her daughter's life, Leanne and her family really struggled with sleep. Her daughter took chronic short naps, woke multiple times during the night, and had such a hard time falling asleep independently. Leanne was exhausted, overwhelmed, and completely lost. She finally decided that enough was enough and started looking for a solution. She did immersive research into pediatric sleep in order to truly understand her daughter's sleep needs. After a few short weeks of sleep training, her daughter's sleep habits drastically improved, and everyone was sleeping again. She never wanted another family to experience the amount of sleep deprivation and stress that she and her family had. It was then that Leanne decided to become a certified pediatric sleep consultant and start Moonlight Dreams. She offers gentle yet effective sleep coaching methods and provides a multitude of resources, including private coaching programs designed to specifically target each of her clients' individual sleep struggles. She's here to get you and your family back to sleep and back on track. So welcome. This is so exciting.
Yay! I know. I'm so excited.
So first of all, I love the name. It's so soothing. When you and I first started connecting.
Thank you.
And you sent it to me. I'm like, oh my God, I'm relaxed already. This is before we started going live tonight, I was just telling Leanne, that a lot of the people that I work with and know, especially in parents and perinatal related issues, when the little one or little ones won't sleep, it's rough. Yeah. And to have someone come on who is not only specializing in it, but has lived it, I think really validates and really brings a great deal of knowledge. So I'm so excited to dig in and hear a little bit about your journey and your experiences. So
yeah.
where would you like to begin tonight? Filter-free Friday.
I mean, I guess I can start on how, I started Moonlight Dreams. First and foremost, the name came from my daughter's middle name is Moon. So, it all kind of like filtered into that. It kind of made sense to use her as part of it. Like you said, in your introduction, we had a really rough go at it for a while with her. You're already like trying to figure everything out as a new parent, why are they crying now? And are they hungry? And is this happening? But then on top of it, with them not sleeping and then you're not sleeping, you're going crazy. And, everybody was crying all the time in this house. Nobody was happy.
Right.
So, I'm never a person to pick up a book and read a book. That's just not me. And I got to a point where I was like, I was reading every piece of literature I could find on sleeping and baby sleeping and pediatric sleep and all of it. Cause I'm like, there has to be a reason why she's not sleeping. We were at a point where she would go down for the night. Right. And then all of a sudden she would just be up for hours overnight. And my husband and I would just have to take shifts. And then I got to a point where he was back to work after 2 weeks. Because just, the nature of his work, and I had gotten laid off. Earlier that year, my daughter was born in February. I got laid off in January. So, he had to go back to work you know, it's not like he could have taken much time.
Right.
We needed the health insurance. We needed all of it. So, you know, I was on my own for, you know, very soon after she was born. So I was like, I have to figure something out because I'm not going to survive this. So, you know, I got really deep into the research and I learned a ton. And she, you know, she vastly improved with a lot of like schedule changes and just like me paying attention to the amount of time that she was awake, the amount of time that she was getting sleep during the day, because it's all like super important.
Okay.
And I can obviously get into that if you know, if that's something that would be of interest, but
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, and after a few weeks, she was like transformed and like we were transformed all of a sudden, like, you know, she was taking longer naps, she was sleeping longer overnight, and by the time she was, you know, I would say between 4 and 5 months, she was sleeping completely through the night, she was taking amazing naps, and like we just never thought we would get there. Wow. And we couldn't believe that we were at that point.
That,
you know,
so that must have been so stressful and scary for both of you, and on top of all the anxiety and stress and excitement of yes. being new parents, and then that underlying fear is something wrong. And how do we deal with this?
Yeah, 100%. And like, that's, you know, and I talk to parents now who are like, oh my God, like, you know, are they sick, or, you know, do they have colic, or do they have reflux? Like, is it something that's bothering, they have gas? Like, is it something that's bothering them? It's keeping them up all night. And most of the time, you know, some, like those are very common things that happen, especially with newborns, but like most of the time it's, you know, them being overtired, which is like the biggest culprit for kids not sleeping, and just not having like good quality sleep. And, you know, kids getting overtired, it's so easy to do. Like, you know, they're staying up too long between naps, or, you know, they're staying up too long until bedtime, or, you know, they're overnight screwed up. So then they're starting the day overtired. So it's like, that is the culprit for, you know, poor sleep most of the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what was her problem, 100%. Like, we just weren't paying attention to like her schedule and like the hours that she was sleeping and the hours that she was awake. So then all of a sudden overnight, she was like ready to party between the hours of like 2 and 4. And we're like, oh my God, we can't keep doing this. So
ready to party.
You know, yeah.
You're like, oh like, my gosh, make it stop.
Yeah. Right. But then, you know, you can't help like your brain instantly goes to like, something's wrong with them. Like, what's wrong?
Right.
But,
and then you're,
you know,
sleep deprived. So you're not, you know,
right.
on full cylinder.
Right. Exactly. And then it's like sleep when the baby sleeps and you're like, yeah, okay, that's not happening. So.
Right. And how did, if you don't mind me asking, how did it affect the relationship with you and your husband at that time?
Yeah, that was hard. I mean, you know, cause we obviously were so used to just having each other
right.
and our time together. And like, we knew, like, it's like, you can never really prepare yourself for the amount of time that a child is going to take out of your life. Like, you know, it's going to happen, but until it's happening, like, you just really can't prepare yourself. So it was hard. I mean, we missed each other
right.
and right. cause you know, like just those first few weeks, you're kind of just getting in the groove of things. Right. But you know, it felt like it was lasting forever. And like, I would talk to friends, they're like, it's not going to last forever. And I'm like, I know, but like, I cannot see the light at the end of this tunnel mm-hmm. because things were just so bad. And, you know, he was going to bed early because he was getting up early. And then I was like taking the later shifts. And it was just like, our schedules were like completely flip-flopped. And then he would come home, I would be completely exhausted. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were just so used to just having our time. So, you know, fast forward to when things were amazing and she was, you know, going to bed at a decent hour and she was sleeping through the night and everything was going great. Like, we had our time again
mm-hmm.
and we mm-hmm. felt
so
like
important.
Ourselves again. Yeah. And cause like, you know, I wouldn't say that it was like, you know, affecting us negatively, obviously, but like, you know, my husband was and still is a huge support system for both of us
right.
You know, for me and my daughter. But you know, there would be nights where like I knew he had to get up early and I would just come to bed crying because she would not sleep, and he's like, I will do it. Uh-huh. He's like, you need to just be here and like cry for a minute. Mm-hmm, like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go take care of this. But then like, you know, then he came then that night I was just like beside myself. And he came in, he was like, so we need to figure this out because I can't have both of you crying at the same time because then I don't know what to do.
Love how he expressed and communicated that. Good for him.
He's like, I know it's hard, but we need to like solve something because you can't both be crying at once.
So you were saying that a lot of the advice you were getting was this will pass, it'll end. What were the medical providers telling you?
So I never really brought it up to the doctor because I was literally in the mindset where I was like, it sucks. It's going to suck until it doesn't suck, you know? Because like the common like things that you hear, right, when you're a new parent, it's like, oh, once they hit like 3 months, that's usually when they start sleeping through the night because like they hit like the magic numbers, like between 12 and 15 pounds, and they don't need as much to, you know, they don't need as much, you know, breast milk or formula overnight because they're getting, you know, they're drinking more during the day and whatever, which like is true most of the time or some of the time. But then, you know, there's so many other factors that like come into play where like, then like, you know, a lot of parents hit the 4 month sleep regression and then they're like, wait, things are really good. And all of a sudden they're not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was at a point where I was like, okay, like things are gonna get better eventually, like based on what I've heard. And, you know, and sometimes I like, she was never at a point where she like didn't seem well.
Okay.
But I was like, there's something wrong here where like we're missing something. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why she's not sleeping. And then we also got to a point where she was very reliant on her pacifier, which is another very common issue with, you know, with kids in sleep. Like, you know, they could be a great sleeper with their pacifier, but then if they get to a point now where their pacifier is like popping out of their mouth and then they're going to wake up because they need it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden parents are like, oh my God, they were sleeping so well overnight. And now they're waking up like every hour on the hour because their pacifier is falling out of their mouth. That happened with her. So that was like another, like, you know, misstep. We were like, oh, we're doing so great. And then all of a sudden we were like, oh no, why is she waking up? Huh. And you know, that, you know, to kind of like make it a long story short, I guess, you know, the issue with, you know, the 4 month sleep regression, why that happens and like why, you know, all of a sudden these props that parents were using and that we were using up until that point where they stop working after a while is because their sleep changes. So it's for the first like 12 weeks, they're in stages of sleep. So like light sleep and you know, heavy sleep, REM and non-REM sleep, okay. Right? Okay. And that's the only time they're ever in stages of sleep because then it starts to become cycles. And then, you know, it's like the same as, you know, all of us, we have cycles of sleep and then the cycles have to connect. And if they don't learn how to connect their sleep cycles on their own by self-soothing, they're going to be relying on whatever it was that helped them to sleep, whether it was rocking or feeding or a pacifier. So then, you know, now that they're in cycles of sleep, cycles last somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour. That's why a lot of parents are like, oh my God, they're waking up every hour on the hour.
So they think something's wrong.
Don't understand. Yeah. So they're like, okay. And all of a sudden it's happening. But then you know, then you're asking the question, okay, so how are you getting them to go to sleep at night? They're like, well, I'm rocking them. So then you think about it, like they're waking up every hour because their sleep cycles are trying to connect, but they're waking up looking to be rocked. Because that's what they relied on. Exactly. Which is like, you know, in the beginning, like it's you know, these things are like, I don't want to say fine to do because that sounds like, you know, you shouldn't be doing it,
right?
But you know, it's
not detrimental. It's easier to,
right? But then it gets to a point where, you know, you want to start prepping, you know, that's like a bad word to use too, but you want to start getting your child used to settling independently. And there are very easy and gentle ways to do that from the beginning, mm-hmm. to start building a very solid sleep foundation and to start building their skill set. Cause sleep is a skill set at the end of the day, you know, and they're only going to learn how to sleep by the way that you're teaching them.
Right.
So that's what we were making the mistake doing, was, you know, giving her a ton of props. Then all of a sudden she was like waking every hour and we're like, what is going on?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because a lot of things that I see with in the research with adults, adolescents, and teenagers, especially, is especially with the increase of technology and cell phones, is how disruptive that can be to the sleep cycle. So it makes perfect sense that a little one would have their own cycle. And especially, I've seen a lot of articles about teenagers, and I'm sure a lot of adults do it too, is like sleeping with the cell phone under the pillow. So that way every notification they're getting woken up to, like, oh my gosh, I got to answer. And they're yeah. then they're like depressed, anxious, irritable, and then they can't function.
Yep. So, yeah. That's like one of the big things I always say to parents too. Like, cause you think about it, I did it. Mm-hmm. I was definitely like, you know, a culprit of it, like where you're up with the baby and you're sitting there scrolling, or, you know, you just finished feeding the baby at 3 a.m, you go to bed, you're scrolling, the baby's mm-hmm. sleeping, but you're scrolling. Now you can't fall asleep.
Right.
Cause the blue light's been stimulating you and like everybody's a hot mess. And then like next thing you know, the baby's up again to eat. And you're like, oh, God, I've been up for hours. What have I done? So yeah, that's always like one of my main things is like, keep the devices out. Keep right. them out in the bedroom.
And so, and I was thinking when you were talking about that is, you know, what I've noticed about children and babies is they're so sensitive. I mean, they're just little smart. So they can probably pick up on mom and dad's anxiety, I would imagine. And probably, oh, mm-hmm. am I doing something wrong? Oh, are the mom and dad are upset. It must mm-hmm. be really hard to like, you're sleep deprived, you are worried, but how do you kind of like filter that so the child isn't picking up on
it? Right, right, for sure. And like that, you know, that even holds true to like, because I work with families of toddlers as well, and like all the way up to school age kids. But you know, when you talk about like, you know, sleep training and sleep coaching with toddlers, and you know, that is all going to be like, you know, boundary setting and consequences and rewards. Like that's a lot of what, you know, toddler sleep coaching is. Okay. But it's like the biggest thing is like calm breeds calm. So like if you are staying calm in the process, they're going to sort of reciprocate your energy. Cause if like, if they're crying and you're crying and everybody's upset and everybody's yelling, not going to help. Right. You know, you have to like stay dedicated to the, you know, to the method that you're using, but be very calm, which it's hard because like, you know, some of the time with toddlers is like, you know, parents are reinserting themselves back into the room for an extended period of time where they're like kind of like inching themselves further out the door over the course of like a few nights. But excuse me. So like it's hard because like toddlers, they have a voice and opinions and they can say, no, mommy, don't leave. No, mommy.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
You know? So it's hard because then you're sitting there and you're like, I have to stay committed to what I'm doing. They also have to know that I'm here for them, you know, emotionally, but like, I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to lay with you. You're not going to come into bed with me. Like I'm here to comfort you, but you know, that's it. That's the extent of it. So it's hard. And like,
it must be, and then you're just tired and you're in pain. Like you're worried all the time.
Yep. Yeah. And like, that's why, you know, obviously like a lot of the time, you know, when I'm talking with parents who have toddlers, like, you know, I can offer them advice and like, I can, you know, tell them like, kind of like, here's sort of what you can try. But a lot of the time it's, you know, they almost need more support than just like, here's what you can do. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, you know, the sleep coaching, I offer 3 weeks of sleep coaching where like, I am with them every step of the way, you know, like, you know, they can just message me and say, hey, I don't, like, help me. Like I'm trying to do this nap and they're falling apart and I'm falling apart. And what do I do? You know? And, it's very methodical, like how I do the 3 weeks where like week one, we focus solely on overnight. Like, here's how we're going to deal with overnight. We get that squared away. Week two is all about naps because, you know, you always want to start with the overnight because that's where like a lot of the issues are happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where like, it's all kind of leaning into the day. That's like screwing day things up. So like we focus on the overnight, we get it going, focus on naps the second week. And then by the third week, everybody's rocking it. And I'm kind of just there, like if you hit a speed bump,
wow,
you know,
that's amazing.
So like, Cause it's hard. Like, you know, you tell them like, here's what you can do. And it's easy to tell somebody, and it's easy to like, it's easier said than done is right. really what right. it is. And then they're all of a sudden they're in it and they're like, oh my God, I can't do this by myself. I need help.
Right.
You know,
especially if someone's like a single parent or the other parent's not there, or one's sleeping sure. or one's working and over the night shift, like
yeah.
you're trying to really survive. And also, you know, if you're adopting, or if, you know, it's a foster care, or if it's, you know, been a birth, like all of everything physiologically that comes with that.
Yeah.
So everyone's sure. still trying to readjust to a whole new world on top of,
mm-hmm.
all right, did I break my baby? Because they're not crying or they're not sleeping.
Not sleeping. Yeah. Yep.
So for one, sure. I'm going to just ask a random question. Is that okay? Because yeah, it just popped.
Of course. I'm here for all the questions.
One of the things that I hear a lot of debate about mm-hmm. is in the bedroom, you know, like sometimes people will say, turn the TV on. Some people will say, have music, have a nightlight, have a candle, have all darkness. Do any of those things really affect a baby's or a toddler's sleep cycle?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. If any of my friends were watching right now, they'd be laughing because they know I'm obsessed with darkness in a child's bedroom, like obsessed. And like my husband was just making fun of me because we now have like window units in the windows, like for AC, because okay. we don't have central air.
Okay.
So, you know, when you think about it, like the parts of the unit that are like, that connect to the window, like mm-hmm. the accordion part, mm-hmm. letting light in.
Mm-hmm.
So like I have my husband like tape up like black cloth or like material to like block the light. I just bought these little stickers that literally cover like lights on like devices.
Oh my God, I love your commitment.
All over her room.
You're so committed. I love that.
I'm doing it. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, the light. He's like
he's like, all right, Leah, we need to like pull it back a bit.
Yeah, he's like, come on, reel it in. Like, you're nuts.
We're not vampires.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, it's so funny because I am super light sensitive, always have been. Like, when I was younger, like, my curtains were always black velvet curtains.
Okay.
And I'd sleep with an eye mask. Like, that was just me. I was so sensitive to light, still am to this day. So, but the thing is, like, to answer your question, you know, light is 100% a stimulant, especially sunlight. Like, our bodies, like just, you know, as adults too, like our bodies and our body clocks and our circadian rhythm, like it regulates with the rising and the falling of the sun. That's just like, that's just plain fact, right? So especially now, you know, because like my husband, he was like, he's like, you're crazy, like, but I, because he left the room, he was like, it's so dark in her room. And I'm like, but think about it, look outside, the sun is out still. It's right. You know, she goes to bed at 7:30, the sun is up until 8:30.
Yeah.
So it's so bright, but like, right. you know, keeping it dark signifies like it's time for sleep.
Okay.
So, you know, and like a lot of the time parents are like, oh my God, my kid's waking up at 6 a.m. I don't understand why. I'm like, well, how are you blocking the sunlight? They're like, oh, well, I just have curtains. I'm like, maybe you should try blackout blinds.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm a huge advocate for like blackout vinyl on windows. Cause like you think about it, like blackout blinds and curtains sometimes are a little bit pricey, but you can get like a roll of blackout vinyl for like $11 on Amazon.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Blacked out the light.
Love a good bargain.
And yeah. So, you know, and then like they try it and they're like, oh my God, they're not waking up at 6 a.m. anymore. I'm like, yeah, because the sun isn't shining in their face.
Wow.
You know, it's just like, it's these things we just don't think about.
Right.
So, you know, and nightlights, like I never recommend a nightlight for any kid unless they're like at an age where like, older toddler age, like probably like 4 or 5, where they're okay. like a little more cognitively aware of like fear, like now they're afraid of the dark, right? They have fears, they have okay. anxieties, right? Like these things are starting to develop because it can just be stimulating and distracting. So, you know, that was something we did with my daughter when she wasn't sleeping. We were like, well, maybe she needs like some light. So we got like one of those like huge like galaxy projector things
with,
like, on her ceiling, and she's just like this looking at it. I'm like, okay, so that's not working. But it's because it was just way too stimulating for her. Right. So like, you know, complete darkness is always going to be ideal because it's just like, it's calming, it's dark, you know, it's just, it's signifying sleep.
Right.
And then I do always recommend like a sound machine of sorts, like a noise machine, like something just like kind of white noise. Cause like, especially when you're starting off in the beginning, cause like the common misconception too, sometimes with newborns is like, oh, be quiet. You know, baby sleep and be quiet. But like, if you think about the womb, it was not quiet.
Right. So oh, I never would have thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like it's so loud. Things are moving. It's like constantly, and they're all just like, you know, nice and warm and cozy in there. So like complete silence is like, it's almost like deafening, you know, right. Like complete silence. So having some kind of like noise machine helps to kind of like soothe them. And plus it like drowns out other sounds, you know, dogs barking. Like we have two huge dogs and they are so loud and they bark constantly. So our daughter's sound machine is up to 100 because they're not waking her up. So, you know, those are always things that I recommend 100%. And like, you know, I know you mentioned like the TV on, like, I always tell parents, like, if you're room sharing, TV stays off. You don't want the TV.
Okay.
And like, you know, like a lot of parents are like, oh, like, you know, before we go to bed, we're just sitting in front of the TV. Like, and they're sitting in front of the TV. I'm like, you don't want that. It's the same thing with the cell phone, right? The
stimulant. It's really interesting that you say that, because I've just known a lot of adults, especially who have PTSD or trauma, and the silence is scary at night, or maybe not always scary, but it doesn't feel safe. But some of the other things that you're saying is have some sound machine, like have something, like make it warm and comforting, and but just not have that. Because anytime I've fallen asleep with the TV on, it's like 24 hours until I can go back to bed. And I feel like I haven't slept at all.
I'm the same way.
How would you, if you had someone like, for example, a toddler who was used to sleeping with the lights on, how would you break them from that?
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of like what I usually recommend for toddlers, like in terms of like a nightlight or something, something like soft and dimmable.
Okay.
So like you can start it off bright. Like if they're like super afraid of the dark, like start it off bright. And then once they're asleep, you go and you kind of dim it.
Okay.
So, you know, like a lot of the time I recommend like, you know, those Himalayan salt lamps, they have like dimmable ones. It's like, it's like a warm, soft light. And then you can dim it, you know, once they're asleep. Another thing, like those, I don't know if you've ever seen them or heard of them. They're like these little projectables. They stick into like an outlet. And usually like a character, it's like a small little like circular thing. And then it has a tiny little projector on it and it projects the character on the wall or something.
Oh, okay.
Those are like soft and light, but like bright enough where they can kind of like see, you know, especially like if kids are potty training, they get up and go to the bathroom, you know, obviously you don't want them tripping on themselves.
Right.
But, you know, you don't want it so bright where it's like they can't sleep or they're waking up because it's like this bright light. So yeah, that's usually what I recommend.
Okay. Yeah. And I would also imagine, you know, some people have houses where, you know, I'm thinking like Alexa or something where it's connected where you can dim it from the other room or something like that. So being able to kind of like wean them off of, okay, so we're going to do this. And then as you're saying, like just sort of decrease the intensity over time.
Yeah. And there's so many devices out there. You're right. Like, especially, you know, like just like sound machine nightlight combo things that are really great that like parents can just control like via an app on their phone. Like there's like the Hatch Light. That's a huge popular one that a lot of parents use. It's also really great. It doubles as like a sound machine and like a night light, but also it's like a training, like okay to wake light. Cause a lot of the time with toddlers, like they're just like waking up early cause they want to wake up early and want to get out of bed. But like a good training tool for that is having like some kind of light that signifies like when it turns green, that means you can get out of bed.
Oh my God.
It's not green. You have to sit quietly in your room or like go back to sleep. Yeah. So there's these,
I'm sure that does that work on Christmas? Cause I feel like that would be when it's tested. Like, I'm sorry.
I do it for my husband.
I'm not listening to you today. I'm not listening. It's Christmas. But that's brilliant because that's what a lot of parents have, like, you know, as kids get a little older and then they have that independence. They're like, oh, let's just jump in on mom and dad and, you know, do that as well.
Yeah.
So what do you notice? The other thing, and if you don't want to answer this, it's fine. But the other area that I see a lot of controversy on is where children are sleeping, like bed sharing with parents. And it's really interesting because I had growing up, like if we were scared, we'd go into our parents' room, you know, but then there was just like an age where it didn't happen anymore, you know, like,
right.
You know, so do you have any thoughts on that of like sleeping with parents or sharing beds?
Yeah. So, you know, my big thing, and I would say a lot of sleep, you know, consultants, their big thing is always going to be safe sleep. Okay. I mean, that is huge from day one. You know, now, like, it's so crazy. Like, I think about it, like, things have changed since we were kids. Like, you know, my mom always jokes, she's like, you slept on your belly since the day you were born. I'm like, yeah, that's not safe anymore. Like, doctors are saying, do not put your babies on their stomachs, because if they like turn their heads, you know, they can suffocate and all of that. Like, no crib bumpers, like, no loose blankets, none of that stuff anymore. It's really just like, you know, the baby's on their back, in a swaddle or in like some kind of like tight wearable blanket situation where it's like safe for them to sleep. So, you know, from day one, I'm like, you know, I'm always preaching that, especially with newborn parents. I'm like, here's how you need to put your baby to bed so that they are safe. You know, I don't ever recommend co-sleeping,
okay,
like sleeping in the same bed, like bed sharing. Cause it's just not safe at the end of the day. I mean, you know, you can say 1,000 times like, oh, I'm so aware of like where I am and where my child is, like, yeah, until you're not, you know? Right. And like, right, you know, obviously you don't ever want a parent to be a statistic like, right, that, you know? And like, there are parents that are, you know, they have toddlers and they're like bed sharing with their child and they're like, I need to get this kid out of my bed. What, right, do I do?
Right. And it's also affecting the marriage or the relationship,
yeah,
too.
Oh yeah, for sure. They're like,
cause they're not,
yeah,
getting any intimacy, like, or like even, no, oh, hey, how are you? I remember you.
Or sleep.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. You look like someone I used to know. I don't know. Like, when I can blink again, you look familiar. I think that's, right, another issue, oh, too, gosh, that I see is, you know, the toddlers waking up at 3 a.m. and, you know, toddlers are strong and they'll just like knee you or like cry. And so parents are so exhausted. They're like, okay, another night. And
correct, then,
you know.
Yep. Exactly. And like, that's, you know, the thing with toddlers is, and it's, you know, it's easier in a way for me to like offer solution versus like, you know, what, kids who can't speak, it's, you know, you have to do a little bit more digging, a little more research into like their life and like their habits that they have. But with toddlers, 99% of the time, it's like, okay, we're setting a boundary now. There's going to be consequences. If they break the boundary, there's going to be rewards if they follow the rules. Right. And that's kind of like anything when you're raising a kid, you know, like, you know, here's the rules. If you break them, there's a consequence, you know, whatever it is. So it's kind of like working with the parents and like, okay, what's worked for you in the past in terms of consequence? Like, are you taking something from them? Are you not going to do something? Because, mm-hmm, you know, a lot of the time, like I offer, you know, like reward charts, like sticker, okay, charts, like that's a big thing with kids where they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to earn stickers every day. And at the end I get a prize or, right, you know, I get to go to the park or whatever. Right. One that's really fun that I always recommend is like, I call them big kid bucks. It's like Monopoly money. And they literally just print out like a sheet of them. And then you can say, okay, you know, you get $1 for every night that you stay in bed and you don't come to mom and dad's bed. Or you start with $5 and anytime you get out of your bed, I'm taking $1.
Okay.
You know, so then like, then they're like, you know, they're losing something, but at the, mm-hmm, same time, like, you know, if they don't get out of bed, they're also earning something. Right. So, you know, it just depends on the kid and like what works for them in terms of like a consequence and a reward, like what they're going to be most responsive to. Like I had a mom who I was talking to, she had 2 daughters, both of them wanted to sleep with them all the time. She's like, I am pregnant again, and I need to not have these kids in my bed anymore. Right. She's like, can't be doing this. So one of them was super responsive with like the rewards chart. She loved it. She loved putting all her stickers up and she loved getting the, you know, the reward at the end of the week. The other one could care less.
Okay.
Like, I don't care about, I was stickers, wondering, I want to, like, be with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, listen, I think she'd benefit more from like, you know, having something given to her and then taken away. Like the reward dollar. So it's like, okay, here you go. Here's your $5. Every time you get out of bed, I'm taking $1.
Okay.
That means you can't buy the shirt you want or the toy or, you know, a lot of the time I say like, use the money for them to buy time doing something like, you know, playing video games or like at the park or whatever. So, you know, it's just figuring out what's going to work for that particular kid,
right,
in terms of, you know, reward and consequence, and then just kind of going from there.
And it must be part of your job to also make sure if there are two parents that both parents are on the same page, because that's where see, like, you know, one parent who, oh, do I have to be the bad cop again? And then the other parent's the more passive parent because they, you know, for whatever reason, they struggle with saying no, or they don't want to say no, or the little kid is just so adorable. they know how to manipulate, be like, you know, break them down. And then they're exhausted. But so that, is that ever an issue that you see where parents, you're coaching the parents to really get on the same page?
Yeah, like, you know, and that's actually one of the questions that I, because any parent who's going to work with me, I have them fill out a questionnaire, so I can just get like kind of a deep dive initially into like a lot of things. That's always one of the questions is like, one, what is your parenting style? Like, what's, you know, like, what are you sort of like doing with your child now that's working, so I can like stay true to that in this program, in your personalized program. But also, like, is everybody on board with getting, you know, restoring sleep back to your home? Because if not everybody's on board, then, you know, we're going to run into some issues. And like, you know, this one mom that had the two daughters, her husband was like, oh, so what? They're not going to want to sleep with us forever. And she's like, yeah, but I am pregnant and I don't want to share my bed anymore. Right. I need to be comfortable. I'm already not comfortable. So, yeah, I mean, that's that. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like coaching the parents too. Like, listen, if you want this to work, everybody has to be on board here.
Right. Well, there's also, I've seen this with parents too, is there has to be that conversation of planning for the future. Of it, like some of the things, and I know that everyone has different opinions about like bed sharing, excuse me, but even with discipline, or like you're saying, rewards and consequences of, you know, when I'm talking to someone, whether it's coaching or counseling, of saying, what will it be like when you're not in the picture?
Mm-hmm.
Will this little one that's going to be an adult one day, like, are they going to feel safe and independent without you? Are they going to be able to have sleepovers and be able to spend the night at a friend's house? Are they going to be able to go on dates? Are they going to be able to go on trips? And, you know, like having those, you know, boundaries are the biggest demonstration of love. And it's so hard, I think, for parents, because time goes so quickly.
But it's so true.
There's a million decisions that make up to. The idea is we want the kids to eventually be independent without you. And then first of all, you're going to have a better relationship because they're not dependent on you for so many things, for security and all that as they're older. But also you've taught them how to believe in themselves, but also how to come to you when they need help.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And like, you know, I think about that too. Like I think about myself, like as an adult and the kind of sleeper and person that I am, you know, I feel very close to both my parents that I can go to them for anything. You know, and I think I could speak for my sister as well, like in the same regard, but like, I think about our sleeping habits when we were kids. My mom's like, I rocked both of you to sleep until you were like toddlers. And, you know, I think about it now, like I need so much to sleep. Like on my husband, I'm like, can you just cuddle me? Like, I just can't sleep. And he's like, I don't want to. I'm like, no, please. So, like, I think about myself now. I'm like, yeah,
thanks, I'm Mom. A little bit
spoiled, I think. Yeah. And my sister,
interesting.
She was, oh my God, she was the worst. Like my parents, like, would talk about all the time, like, because that when I told them I was going to start doing this, and they were like, oh, we could have used someone like you, like with your sister. They tried like Ferber method, which is like the check-in method. Like you let them cry for X amount of time.
Oh yeah.
It's, like it's rough. And like, I do not do that because it's hard to hear your kid cry that much. And two, you have to stay so extremely committed for it to even work.
Right.
And like most of the time parents are just like, I can't even do this anymore. Yeah. I can't hear them cry. Yeah. It's a lot. But my parents tried that with my sister and it did not work. And I'm like, I could probably tell you a million reasons why it didn't work now knowing, but like, and even when she got older, like she had a lot of anxiety as a kid. Just like, you know, back then it just wasn't really something that my parents really didn't know how to deal with.
Right.
But she would, my mom, she would call them eyebrow rubs. She's like, Mom, can you give me an eyebrow rub? And she would like rub her head and like until she fell asleep and like every night. And then it got to a point where she like, you know, kind of didn't really need it anymore, but she needed her music on. Like it was like a whole thing, you know, and like it was a lot of it was because of her anxiety, you know, and like she thinks back now, she's like, oh my God, she's like, poor mom. She's like, just sit there for like 45 minutes rubbing my eyebrows until I fell asleep. And I'm like, yeah.
And it's interesting because you know, I'm sure as a parent, you must hear, you know, like from the medical providers, but then you hear from people who've had it. And then you also hear like a lot of like wives' tales of like, oh yeah, this, you know, it's like, yeah. So what one do I go with here? Or do, you know, right. What works and what doesn't? It's got to be overwhelming just to be a new parent and then encounter this.
100%. And like, that's, you know, that's kind of the reason I started this company is because I was like, you're so overwhelmed as a parent. There's so many things happening, like, you know, just trying to understand like their schedule and how much need to eat and like, are they eating enough? You know, like I was saying before, like, do they have reflux or do they have this or whatever? Like, are they sleeping enough? How are they sleeping too much? Cause like, you know, and then you have like all this, you know, noise outside of your little intimate life where it's like, you know, your mother-in-law is telling you do this and you know your friend's telling you to do this and then you're reading online that's probably not a good idea but it worked for so and so. So you're just like there's all these contradicting ideas and suggestions and then you just feel like okay, I don't even know what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And like that's what I like, you know, I try and like kind of empower parents where I'm like, you know your baby best. So like let's figure out what the problem is and then work towards a solution. Because like not every baby is the same, you know, like, you know, for some kids, like, yeah, like maybe letting them cry a little bit longer is going to work for them, but some it's not.
Well, and also I'm wondering too, if there was any trauma during the pregnancy or birth, that also must be another part of the equation that you explore with them of like, hey, are there any medical issues? Are there any, any other things that we need to consider?
Oh yeah, for sure. That's definitely on the questionnaire too, like, you know, medical conditions for older kids, like allergies or like anything like that, like understanding like what they're eating, like, you know, because that's a big part of it too, especially younger kids. Like, are they getting enough, you know, formula or breast milk during the daytime hours? Because it's just going to lead into overnight. And that's why a lot of parents are like, my kid's still waking overnight. Why is this happening? I'm like, well, how much are they getting during the day? You know, kind of swooping things around to the daytime helps with that. But yeah, like I spoke to a mom, you know, like a few months ago when I first started this and, you know, her daughter was a preemie and she was, you know, pretty sick in the beginning. So she has just a really hard time hearing her cry or having her be in any sort of distress at all. So, you know, when we were speaking, I was like, listen, there are methods where it's called a no tear method. It takes a long time to get to where you want to be in terms of like her sleeping independently and all of that. It's an option, but it just takes longer and like kind of like making that clear from the get go. So, you know, I mean, that's why I always say like, I have gentle methods and they're effective. And like, there's some like where they can cry a little bit and some where they don't, you know, there's no crying or, you know, no tear methods. Right.
There's no crying and sleeping.
That's my motto. I love that. So yeah, I mean, you know, it really just depends on how the parent wants it to go and how their kid is. Cause like, you know, there are like methods where like, you know, there's going to be some crying, right? But you know, when you get to like toddler age and they get to a point where like they're crying, you know, you're just kind of let them cry it out a little bit, it's not going to work because they're going to get to a point where they're crying so much that they're overstimulating themselves. And now they're not going to sleep because they're a hot mess express because they've been crying for hours now. Right. So, you know, like a lot of parents will come to me and they're like, so I try to let them cry it out, but they just keep crying and like nothing's working. I'm like, well, how old are they? And they're like, well, they're 24 months. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work.
They're
way too aware of what's happening and they're just going to cry until they get what they want. That's so, yeah. So it's, and like, these are things I didn't know, obviously, you know, until I did my training and I started doing a lot of research on it. I'm like, wow. Yeah. Like Because I always thought like cry it out was the only method right. ever.
Yep. Yep.
And it's not, you know, and you don't have to use that method.
So I was going to ask you, what was your training like? That must have been so fascinating.
Yeah. So I'm actually still kind of like in it. Like okay. I'm working with this woman who is also a sleep coach and she runs her own business. She's incredible. But she has like a sleep school, she calls it. And she's also helped me like build my business too and make it a profitable, like, you know, functioning business. Because I obviously came into this like one, not knowing anything about running a business. Before this, I had 2 full-time jobs since college. So I was like, I don't know how to run a business.
Right.
So she's helping me with that whole process. And, you know, is also bringing me like, you know, through the training too. So, you know, it's been quite a humbling experience, I will say, because I'm not doing all of this while also being a full-time stay-at-home mom. So I'm like doing most of my work during nap time.
Right. And so, you know, how does, if someone wanted to get a hold of you, how would that work? And what is your business plan look like? Is it just you or are there other coaches involved?
Yeah, it's just me right now. But yeah, I mean, I offer, like initially what I always offer parents initially is that I'm like, listen, if you want to chat, I offer free 20-minute phone, like discovery calls, I call them, mm-hmm. we're going to chat for 20 minutes. We talk about the issue. What's it look like? Is it a simple fix? And I give you a couple like pointers over the phone. I will do that. If I feel that it requires a lot more in-depth, like learning about you and your little one and learning, you know, what the real problem is and then like giving you more instruction, mm-hmm. I will be honest with you and I will tell you like, here's what I can offer you.
Okay.
Cause it would be irresponsible for me to be like, oh yeah, I mean, here's some things you could try because it may not work.
Right.
Cause like, you know, again,
bye-bye, good luck.
Yeah. Right. Like I,
19
I
can't, minutes.
I could not. Yeah, I could not do that. And you know, as much as I wish I could, right? Like I want, like, you know, I want to help people, but I also don't want to like, you know, put them in on the wrong path and then they're right. like completely screwed and they're worse off than they were when they talked to me originally. Right. So, you know, I just, so that's initially what I tell people is like, let's chat and see where we can be. So yeah, that, I mean that you can do that through my website.
And what is your Dream website?
Sleep Coach. Just... It's okay. moonlitdreamssleepcoach.com.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can, you know, go through my website and go to the contact us page and you can just put your information in right there and then it'll take you to, you know, scheduling a call or, you could also, I have a private Facebook group. It's called Love You to the Moon and Back to Bed.
Oh, on I love Facebook. That.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's, one of my girlfriends came up with that when I was thinking about names for the business. She's like, what about Love You to the Moon and Back to Bed? I'm like, first of all, it's hilarious.
Yes.
Like, second of all, it's a little long for like a company name, but I was right. like, that's like my Facebook page. That's great. Yeah. Or my group. Yeah. So I always tell parents, like, join the Facebook group. It's free. It's a private page. You can ask questions in there. It's like, it's a very safe space for parents to just, and caretakers to kind of just like vent or they have questions about, you know, their little one's sleep. I'm always in there answering stuff. I go live, usually every Monday,
okay.
Moonlit Mondays at 1 Eastern time. And I'll talk about a different sleep topic. And then I'll do like a little Q&A at the end too, like pre-submitted questions, people that are on there live with me. So, you know, anybody who joins the group, I always message them and I say, hey, like, thanks for joining, you know, what's going on, anything that we can talk about. And then from there, like, kind of give me like, you know, some parents give me like a whole list of stuff. They're like, here's what's happening. Mm-hmm. Then we're just like, here's some things that I'm struggling with. And I'm like, okay, great. Why don't we jump on the phone and chat?
Right, right.
So, you know, there's lots of ways to get in touch with me. You know, if you haven't gone on the website, like, you know, through Facebook or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I never want people to feel like, I don't know if I should reach out, like, just reach out. I'm here for you.
I see that when parents are so overwhelmed, they're like, I don't want to bother someone, but it's like, this yeah. is what you're here for.
Yeah. And also like, you know, it's hard to kind of like let go as a parent too, where you're like, you feel like you know what you're doing and you're like, I'm just going to figure out by myself. I'm very much that kind of person. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to figure out by myself. I don't need anybody's help,
right.
You know, but like, sometimes you just have to like, you know, swallow your pride and ask for help because like, you can't do it all.
Right.
And your child is not, you need you to be half empty. You have to ask for help. And like, I learned that, you know, pretty quickly, you know, obviously like my husband, like having him for help, but like, I just didn't want anybody else like inserted into our lives. Cause I felt like such a hot mess express. I'm like, no one needs to see me like this. But then I got,
it's also shameful,
like,
right? Cause you feel, you feel like you're doing something wrong and you don't want to like, am I failing at parenting?
100%. So like, I'm telling all you parents, it's okay. If you need help, I'm here for you.
Yes.
And you don't have to tell anybody you're calling me.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I think that whole, you know, when we're talking about anything like this, that I should know this. I hear that a lot. Like, I should have known this, right? It's like, right. Where? Like, I mean,
how?
Like you said, your own parent, like parents, like the things they did, it worked, but then there are consequences. Just like, you know, it's not judgment. It's just, how do we grow and develop? Like my mind's still blown with, well, I'm now thinking, imagining you with the little stickers putting on the lights just to make sure no light is coming in. I love it.
I'm so crazy.
But it makes sense. It really does. And I've just heard that more and more over the last few years, that the more darkness,
yeah,
the better you sleep. And I've even noticed where not even having, I saw some, you know, people post different things and someone had said, you know, don't even bring your cell phone into the bedroom. And so
yeah.
I tried doing that. And I have to say my sleep totally changed, where I woke up totally different, feeling more rejuvenated and not drained. And I think, you know, we go into that, like you were saying, you're scrolling and you think it's mindless, but you're really getting hit constantly with the lights or whatever. And not just lights, but like stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
Video, do, 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 do. Like, I mean, I had to get rid of the TikTok because it was just like, there's an hour of my life that TikTok just ate up. But
it's insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, it's funny. Like my husband laughed at me because like, I'll be on my phone before bed. He's like, dude, come on, stop with the phone. I'm like, but I have to clear my notifications. Next thing I know, I'm on Instagram looking at reels for 45 minutes. He's asleep. I'm like, what am I doing?
You have to get a little vinyl black screen.
So I have a screen protector on my phone that is blue light blocking.
Okay.
And then I have like, you know, the setting that's like the night mode or whatever.
Okay.
I have that on my phone too. But like you said, like regardless of what you're, you know, of all that stuff, I could be wearing blue light blocking glasses at the same time. Like you're watching videos, you're being stimulated just like sitting there.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I always say, like to parents, like, you know, cause a lot of the time, like parents have like tracking apps on their phones. Like they track like how much the baby's eating or like diapers, sleep, all that stuff. Like it's on your phone. So you're going to be on your phone doing it. I'm like, strictly business. You put it in the app and you put the phone down.
Right.
Have like, you know, have all the screen protectors and the night mode and all that stuff on, so it's less, you know, bright in your face.
Mm-hmm.
But strictly business. I'm like, I should follow my own advice in that department.
We're learning. We're learning, right?
We
know what works and what doesn't, and that's
right.
What makes us all human. And just I love, you know, everything that you shared with us. I just really appreciate you coming on here because it's so, and I think sometimes, like, you know, being a coach myself, one of the things, like, you know, there's so much stereotype, and I think it's really changed. But when I was little and I would hear a life coach, I would think, I always say this, I just think of like an LA, like, oh, get me another latte or tell me what shoes to wear. And maybe that was true back then, but now it's like, it's such an amazing component of the helping field. And people can create these businesses where they don't exist. So I am so excited that you've created this business to be able to help parents of all walks of life to be able to say, you're not alone. Like you're saying, there's no shame here. And, you know, let's figure out what we can do for your kiddos and for you. And I think that's amazing.
Thank you. I'm so excited that I got to be on your podcast. This was so much fun.
So I wanted to ask you real quick before we end, how did you get into like podcasts? I always find that's like a fun little story.
So like, I well, when I was speaking with my, like my coach, like the woman who's kind of helping me go through this whole process, you know, I was like, how do I kind of get myself out there a little bit more? She was like, join some like groups on Facebook that like, you know, people look for like guests on podcasts. And I'm like, okay. So I joined one. And then I did like, I had to be accepted. Right. And they're like, here are the rules. Like, you know, you do the one intro. And I was like, here's my little intro. And then you reached out and I was like,
hey, yeah, I know. It's like, so, this sounds fascinating. Let's connect.
So yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I've been doing. Like just, and I join a bunch of groups, like new mom groups, like Facebook groups. I'm obsessed with, because that you can network so well, especially like today's day and age, like after COVID, like it's all virtual.
Yep.
So that's, you know, where I thrive.
And that's, what's nice is that because it, with the virtual, you can get parents all over.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like, all right, someone let's I'm just speaking to
overseas. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Exactly. Are you virtual as well? Like, do you take clients virtually?
Yeah, I'm all virtual.
Oh, cool.
It's so funny. Like, I mean, in some people that it's like, you know, but it opens doors, and you know, I miss, but it's so nice. Like I do consultation, and I have international consultees and coaching and stuff. So it does open so many amazing doors. And I also find you know, I live in Northern New York, where especially in, we don't have a lot of public transportation, and especially with the winter, and being able to offer telehealth or tele sessions, whatever you want to call them, for parents who their kids are sick, but now they can still get support, or they don't have to worry about childcare, or the car is not working, or it's below zero. Yeah. They can still be safe at home and still get the support. So I think it's opened so many amazing doors.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I just started doing virtual therapy myself. And I was like, this is so great. Cause like, I don't need to like, you know, who's watching the baby or like, you know, whatever, like I'm just doing it at a time that works for me. And I'm sitting right here.
Right. I love it.
It's so great.
As we wind down, I always like to ask, what is one piece of advice that you would like maybe the audience to walk away with today from our conversation?
Kind of what I said before, like you are not alone ever in this, I call it the journey to sleep, right? Like you're never alone in this process. Like it can be so lonely, especially, you know, like you said, when you know, you're the one taking all the night shifts, or especially a lot of breastfeeding moms, like they are alone a lot of the time feeding their child because there's no one else that does it but them. So it's such a, it can be so lonely, but I want to be there for any parent who's feeling lonely, any mom or dad or any caregiver, anybody who's feeling lonely in this process and feeling, you know, just out of resources and out of ideas and just lost, you know, you are not alone and you never have to feel like there's nothing out there to help you. Right. And there is help, and you don't have to pay a ton of money for it either.
Right.
Like, you know, I have so many free resources on my website and
your Facebook
and all that. Yeah. So, wonderful. You know, never hesitate to reach out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Leanne, for joining us on Friday Night Feels. I hope you come back sometime whenever you want. You're welcome.
I would love Friday to.
All right. And thank you to everyone who watches and listens to the podcast. I hope that everyone has a beautiful, safe weekend, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Thank you, Patrick.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.